Good morning, everyone. Can someone let me know if you can hear me okay on the wind line?
We can.
Very quiet.
Very quiet, yes.
Okay. We're at the Pyle Center today, and as part of the Area Extension Director orientation, Dave is making some adjustments. I think you could probably turn the volume down a little bit in the Pyle Center. Thank you, Jennifer, for starting this WIS line and recording it. And if we need to speak up, please let me know, and I'll try the best. I found a microphone in the room, so I think that'll help a little bit. But I think rather than try to do a roll call of all 72 states, we'll just start. I appreciate everyone joining us this morning for the Department Head WIS line. There are a couple things on the agenda that we'd like to touch on. First is the Area Extension Director updates. We have a couple bullet points or subpoints under that. We'll talk about, Tricia is here as well. She'll join us and speak about the Memorandum of Understanding updates, where we're at with that. Some communication updates is item three. We'll touch on some budget updates, give you a status update on where we're at with conversations with department heads in the various counties across the state. And the last portion of this will be questions and answers. So just to begin with Area Extension Director updates, we have 18 new Area Extension Directors joining us today. Today kicks off a bit of a cohort building opportunity as well as a bringing them up to speed with where we're at with the new model and helping prepare them as they begin their official positions on July 1st. The other four individuals were already in their counties or single county units that they were directors with, so many of them are joining us today as well as some of the regional directors, and both Dave and I are leading that conversation. So we're starting this three-day training and orientation that goes through Friday of this week, and on July 1st, the department head roles will continue, and this is probably what you're most interested in, is learning how this transition is going to occur. The department head roles are going to continue nearly identical as those roles are today, and I quickly looked back at the SharePoint site to grab the outline of what those roles and responsibilities are, and they've moved that. It was on the old Cold Fusion website, and that has crashed, and they're moving it. It had been archived, but if you have questions about roles and responsibilities, which I'm guessing you probably know very well, let me know. And we're trying to find a new site to put those on. I think over time we're going to be very clear and specific in terms of when those roles and responsibilities change. And I think one of the starting points might be with the absence reports and such. But we'll be very clear that it'll be written communications in terms of the timing of when and what is changing. So, and over time, the department head roles will assume more of a support role with Area Extension Directors. In the short term, I think, please begin communicating, as department heads, please begin communicating with the Area Extension Directors when your committee meetings are going to be, when other important meetings, maybe with finance or with administrators, executives, try to get those dates on the calendars of their extension directors so they can be as efficient and utilize those opportunities as best they can to begin to build those relationships, introduce themselves, and get to know the people in the county as well as the staff. I think that'll be equally as important. And we'll be having those discussions today and beginning to frame out what that looks like and how we can best achieve that. So from a department head expectations and transition, again, we'll continue with the current expectations, and Dave and I will be communicating when we'll be transitioning the different aspects of the expectations during this transition. Again, I touched on communications and scheduling. Please help the Area Extension Directors get those important dates on the calendar. And, Dave, do you have anything to add?
No, thanks, Matt. That's a great summary. Just be sure when you're communicating that you keep the regional directors copied and in the loop, or communicate directly with them and copy Matt and I so that we're all singing from the same hymnal, so to speak. Let's move on to MOU updates. And Tricia, do you want to give a summary on where we are on that county MOUs?
Yeah, hi, hello. So we've been working on the MOU over the past few weeks with others, and to help us generate basically an agreement that we'll have with counties. Especially this first year, we're going to look to this year as a pilot year. And the way that we've been conceiving of the MOU is that it helps set up a standard set of expectations of what the county would provide, as well as what the state would provide in this relationship. And so that's kind of just a general description of that. We expect that the MOU is to accompany the contract. So after these contract negotiations, I know you're all already in this budget discussion, but as we start moving forward, we expect this MOU to be part of the conversation. We do also expect these MOUs to be standard across the counties, and so we're not looking to these MOUs as to be kind of tweaked for county. That type of the differences that we'll see in maybe some of the county relationships and agreements, we expect to happen in more of like a work planning activity between the area extension directors and the counties. So we see this MOU as having much more of a standardization across the counties. And I can give you some examples of what this looks like. So we're not ready to roll it out, so we want to have legal take a look at it and some other eyes on it before we start sharing this with everybody. But we would appreciate feedback once this starts. We do start getting this in the works. Again, the purpose and scope is to describe the type of services and programs that cooperative extension can provide, standardized processes and expectations and lines of authority as well, and then address situations like hiring process for new staff and annual contracts. What we see as far as some of the responsibilities for cooperative extension is to provide support and funding, co-funding, we see that for some of these positions. So basically providing the services that are requested and agreed upon. We see that from the responsibilities from the county and tribe is providing some of the support staff to meet those administrative needs, room space, or some of these specifics of adequate office and space and supplies would be some of those other details. And then, we get into some of the more of the legal details, indemnification of cooperative extension employees or insurance for county programs. So these are some expectations that we would see that we've sort of at least been hearing about that we would expect the county and tribe to provide. Now, we do see, as I mentioned, that there's other plans and contracts in support of this MOU. So this isn't in replace at all of what we see as part of the contract, which would have the more financial arrangement. We also see that more work planning from the area as well as at the county level. We get into the specifics of how those offices will operate. And so where this might be more general, broad expectations, that's where the work planning will have those more specific operational details. So with that, I just wanted to give you a general sense of what we expect from the MOU. As I mentioned, this is in draft form. We're going to be sending this off for legal eyes as well as some of our county partners. So if you do have suggestions of counties that you think would be a good fit to help pilot this, please let us know. And you'll see copies of this coming up shortly in the next couple months at the latest. We would want to roll this out in the next month, but again, we just want to make sure we have all of the details covered. So any questions on the MOU?
So I just, this is Bryn from Florence. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, thank you.
So just to clarify, the 133 contracts are the more financial details.
Mm-hmm.
MOU is broad expectations of county and state, I imagine. And then the work plan is more getting more to the detail of the services.
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, the contract has the specific positions and the funding arrangement that will happen. That's in the 133 contracts. What we haven't seen in the past are any sort of expectations around counties or states, and so this is this taking this to the level of more clearly defining these expectations. So we see that to be standard across the counties, so that's where the MOU comes in, as you mentioned. The work plan, and this is going to be clarified and worked out through the area extension directors and groups to really identify what those work plans look like and coming up with templates so that the area extension directors can be working with the counties and across these areas. So we don't have a template yet for those work plans, but that's going to be on the list of and put and be developed through our area extension directors. But those would have more specific details as far as operations within the county and between the county and the state. So what are some of those? That would be annual. As I mentioned, this MOU we're looking at as this first year, we're going to revisit and potentially revise after this first year. So we're considering this a one-year MOU, but in the future we would expect these to be 3 years in length so that we're not constantly revisiting these MOUs every year. What would happen every year would be the 133 contract and then that work plan that has more of those specific details.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? All right, I think we can move on.
Thanks. Well, I'll just give a brief update on communication. And, you know, one of the pieces is that we intend to continue these department head calls monthly through the process of the transition. And we'll continue to provide updates as we can. And as the Air Extension Directors come on, they'll be a part of that. They'll be a part of that update process. One thing that was worked on over the last few months that is not ready to share with you today is I was meeting with a county board and they had 22 items on their agenda and I maybe had 10 minutes with that county board and I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a one pager describing the future structure to just pass out to the county board? And some of our colleagues, John Creva, amongst others, have been working on that. And we're happy to, it was announced last week and will be probably announced this week in the newsletter, but we're happy to have Shannon Carpenter on board as the new Director of External Relations. As we're moving forward with the design of NextGen, we're also implementing and shoring up pieces of the organization that we need in order to achieve and to execute this model moving forward. And so Shannon has joined us a couple of weeks ago, and she's going to take a read on that one pager before we make it live. And she's also going to be joining the Area Extension Directors today as kind of an orientation herself. And we're super excited to have her on board. Matt, anything to add to the communication update?
I don't think so. Let me turn my mic on. No, I think that's a good summary, Dave, and we're working and happy to have Shannon on board as she works with us to think of the best ways to communicate with department heads and staff across the state in terms of the next steps of this new model.
So we'll move on to budget updates, and Matt and I, as many of you are aware out there, have been having individual meetings with county department heads and regional directors where we sit down, we talk through the pricing model, we talk through the flat fee structure and what that means, and then we explore options in comparing that to your last year's county budget and assessing the opportunities and options for coming in at a realistic level as you present your staffing levels and budget to the committee. Some of you have just asked, can you just send me the fees and I'll do the budget? We're not doing that because each of those conversations has taken about 20 minutes or so of discussion of what the pricing model is and how it applies in order to move forward with having the specific budget detail and conversations. And as I looked last night, as I entered some more and Matt and I are probably having about 3 or 4 of these meetings a week. We had about 30-some counties that we've met with and have had these budget conversations, and others are fast realizing that they're needing to submit budgets and are contacting the regional directors first, and Matt and I to schedule, set up these meetings. Matt, any observations, other thoughts about the budget modeling?
I was going to guess that we're about halfway through with the various department heads across the state, and encourage you, if you haven't sent through that process yet, contact the regional directors or Dave and I. And I know I've got 2 scheduled for Friday of this week afternoon, and a couple again next week. So it typically takes, I'd say, about 45 minutes discussion to kind of work through these. Some counties are a little more complex or have kind of what I'd call the one-offs. You know, it might be a 100% company-funded individual. So we talk about that and figure out how that fits into the new model and what that financial implication is going to be. So for the most part, I'd say for the most part, as the department heads have been sharing this with the county partners, with their extension committees, it's been received quite favorably. I think there are advantages of the flat fee structure that they're seeing. I think moving to a calendar year rather than the fiscal year is being met with some optimism by counties that haven't been budgeting that way. And for those on the fiscal year, it seems like those 6-month extension of contracts, which are already budgeted on the county side for the rest of 2017, have gone very smooth. I haven't received or heard of any pushback on that. So the conversations continue, and I encourage you, if you need to have that conversation yet, please let the regional directors or Dave and I know. And I think each of the regional directors have been through enough of these now that they're starting to feel very comfortable with those conversations. And if something comes up that a question that can't be answered, reach out to myself or Dave.
Great, and I understand you all have different processes and different needs. Carl presented this budgeting and other information to the WASAC board last Friday, and they had a lot of questions as well. And for the most part, the model made sense to them. Any other questions about budget updates before we move on to just general question and answer?
Hey, this is Tim up in Bate Hill County. So you're not going to send the fee structure. I know when Carl was here, he kind of alluded to it, but he didn't give us all the details. So we need to schedule a meeting either with yourself or the regional director or with the area director. I guess who should we be scheduling a meeting with, and who should be at the table for the meeting? Should that be our extension committee, or I guess just looking for some specifics here.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. That's why there's been some confusion about that, so I appreciate your question. The first point is to contact your regional director, in your case would be Julie, to set up a meeting. And copy myself and the area extension director. The conversation would be, we've been doing those by Google Hangout because we have a database of these pricing models for each county. And we adapt and modify the pricing model while we're talking and sharing it on the Google Hangout screen. So it would be yourself, Julie, me, and in this case, Mary, if she's available to make it, and takes like Matt said, about 45 minutes to an hour. We just need to schedule that. If you contact Julie and Stacy, they have access to my calendar, and they can get it on the docket.
Okay.
And then you can decide how comfortable you feel and how resonant your committee is. And some people have said, I'd like a regional director to come to the meeting when I present this, or, you know, need a little backup or support. And others feel, this is something my committee is really going to resonate with and understand. I'm okay just presenting it myself.
First step is contact Julie and get on her calendar, and hopefully you'll be able to join us, and hopefully our area director too.
Right.
So it'll be a Google Hangout, kind of a conference call arrangement.
Right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
This is Barbara from Ventura County, and a request that I have, when we had the conversation with Matt, we began to ask him questions about different types of positions, such as 4-H program coordinator versus youth and family educator, and I would just ask that those options be presented up front. I felt that if I wouldn't have asked the question, I don't know if that option would have been considered for one of the positions. So I just asked that the information about the different types of positions and opportunities of how they can be filled be presented up front.
Yeah, that's a terrific point. And the position outlines haven't been formally adopted yet, and the integration work group is still working on them this week. And so the county budget conversations aren't coinciding with the actual release of those structures and position outlines. Some of those would be made more clear in this Friday's communication. It would be great to do that within the next few weeks. Probably we'll be able to release those and have a more intelligent discussion about it.
Dave, related to that, is there any reason that you can't just send out the fee structure for all the different types of positions? We're going to our committees and telling them this is a flexible model. They may want to look at a different makeup of agents in our county, and we don't have that fee structure. Could you send that out to everybody?
We've chosen not to do that. We've chosen to have the conversation with county department heads first, partly because the model itself, the pricing model itself, was just kind of done in a meeting with regional directors and program directors, and we really haven't had the conversations about what might be included in that model or might not. So quick, easy Google Hangout takes 45 minutes. If we can do it in a half hour, then after that, we've been sending out the pricing model to the individual county to have them be able to modify that or model that with their committee.
Dave, this is Peter Manley. For that budgeting meeting, do we come out of it with options for the committee or one preferred option?
Both have occurred, and the real conversation has been around what is the best scenario for that committee to present a specific option and then let them know it's flexible, or present option A or option B.
This is Barbara. Go ahead. Or am I just
And I just want to confirm that we have a choice then if we put in our budget the same fee for any kind of educator or the different fees for different focuses. That's up to us.
Well, the fee structure is consistent and flat. If it's a communities educator or agriculture educator or youth and families educator, it's the same no matter where that position is in the state. Where the flexibility in budget comes in is around the amount of FTE allocated to that position and then the potential for sharing a position across county lines.
Matt and I had a discussion in our committee as well that not only the fees for those positions be the same across the state, but they be the same, and that's what I built into my budget proposal.
And Chris, I know that had been brought up at Faculty Senate. It's been brought up at IWG, and that hasn't. The original model still stays the same. I know there are some differences between ag and community educators versus a youth family extension educator, and then the next step down is the 4-H program coordinator role. And I'm not comfortable just taking an average of all four of those different positions or three different price ranges. And that's why it's helpful to have those conversations with department heads prior to just sharing that, so that there's a better understanding of why there's that difference between those the flat fee structures for various positions, and that's largely market driven. But I don't want to go to a county and say we've averaged all these prices, and then the county watch maybe a Wisconsin Counties Association webinar and Carl's talking about differences in prices. That doesn't come across as transparent and open. So as much as possible, if you want to take those individual position fees out and just have the total, the bottom line total, that's one thing, but I wouldn't recommend averaging those prices out and sharing that with the committee and then them hearing a different story at maybe it's Wisconsin Counties Association meeting or webinar or something like that.
This is Barb Barker, and I just want to respond from a Faculty Senate perspective. The discussion that occurred at Faculty Senate is that because there are different price values, and I understand they're based on market value, is what I'm hearing now, but the concern is that you are implying a certain value on different types of positions. And that also affects the morale of staff. When you mentioned that there's a step down to a 4-H program coordinator, that's significantly affecting the morale of our 4-H colleagues within the state of Wisconsin. And we're not feeling good about the job that we do. We're not feeling good about the contribution that we make to UW Extension because there's a different value being placed on those types of positions and the work of 4-H youth development. So that was part of the discussion from Faculty Senate.
So Barb, yes, I appreciate that, and we heard that as well. I will say that the pricing and fee structure is a sponsor's decision, and so certainly Matt and I don't have the option or the opportunity to change that pricing structure that's been framed.
Yeah, and I caught that as soon as I said that, Barb, and I cringed and somewhat apologized. These fee structures don't have any connection with what the person's actually making. And this is the new model position, and a 4-H program coordinator likely would be a bachelor's level, not a master's level. And so as we look at the new model and the staffing of the new model, if there's a current faculty position member in that position, they'll continue with their faculty duties until they resign or retire. But as they leave, and the new academic staff come into these positions, part of the difference in that fee structure is likely going to be more so coordinated with what degree level they come in at.
Okay. And I appreciate that. I guess part of the discussion, too, and it may come out when the position outlines come out. Currently, faculty within 4-H youth development do a similar level of educational programming and educational planning and have significant impact within our communities like the other four program areas. So I'm speaking my piece. So thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for that. Well, let's open up to more general questions. If you have more questions about the budget, that's fine, but let's expand the scope of the questions.
In regards to the flat, was there a formula ever discussed how the flat fees originated in the first place? And then that communication, because I believe it's better if it's more open for people to be able to understand why and where they are in these budgets. Otherwise, it's like something's being hidden.
Yeah, so the dean, that's why we're having that conversation with individual department heads before we do the budget modeling. Carl has spoken about it on a few occasions. Ultimately, there's a lot of factors that go into it. One is the fact that the attempt is to still cut that $1.2 million from the county side that the chancellor promised over a year ago. So it's a fairly, fairly nuanced and complex pricing model, but it is what the sponsors decided are the fees for those various types of positions. The position titles may change a little bit and morph, and there may be some additional position titles created. The farm management and agriculture titles went away, and now it's agriculture with a farm management or other type of focus. Those type of things are shifting. I've been told it's unlikely that the flat fees themselves will change because budget modeling is really based off of that fee structure. Other questions?
So this is Erin from Eau Claire, and we've seen these flat fee structure numbers already. And to be honest, these numbers are floating around amongst employees anyway. So I saw the numbers before the regional director even gave them to us. And then second of all, this idea that we can share among counties if we have to reduce FTEs in our own county, I don't know how that's going to work out considering that the counties around us are short in their budget too. So if they have to bring their FTEs down, there's not like an extra, I don't know how we're going to work with each county if we're all bringing our FTEs down to share amongst ourselves. I don't know if you can comment on that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. That's a very very valid point. There will be a reduction of FTEs in the model, and that's why we're bringing area extension directors on to build our capacity to have those conversations in a thoughtful and intelligent way.
I guess what I'd add to that, as I have my initial conversations with department heads and with the regional directors as well too. There are several layers of this. I mean, what we're looking at initially with this flat fee based structure is the county staffing. And Erin, as you'd mentioned, in some cases, that bottom line price comes in $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 more than it may have been in 2017. In other cases, it comes in less than what it was in 2017. A lot of that has to do with staff seniority, staff size, and things, and some of those factors that are a bit out of our control, but the fee structure kind of equalizes that somewhat. So the first piece is looking at that local staffing level, and then that second conversation, I think, and probably the more difficult conversation that will benefit from having their extension directors and the support from department heads and regional directors over the next 6 months is, okay, we can't make the current budget. We have to reduce maybe a half FTE on a position, and it seems like here's an opportunity then to begin having conversations with maybe a neighboring county in the same predicament. Hopefully not every county is overstaffed and under budget to allow that flexibility, and if so, that's a larger conversation then that we need to have. But it is kind of a step process, and typically my impression as I'm working with committees is they see the bottom line price and they may see perhaps a reduction in staffing or the same staffing and paying a little bit more. What they're not seeing is that additional support from the state side, the 100% funded positions with extension specialists, with the outreach program coordinators, that are going to be accessible by their extension directors to come into counties to address some of those priorities that maybe the current staff don't have the time for, or maybe the content expertise, or whatever the reason. But additional resources that'll be even more accessible because those individuals will be distributed kind of across the state and available to meet some of those special priority needs.
Yeah, but to be fair, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about dollars, and they're not thinking about added value or qualitative, you know, extra things in their budget. They're just thinking about, you know, we're short $20,000. How can we make that better? You know, they've always had access to extra specialists and things like that. So, I don't know. This I know what you're trying to say, but people here on the boots on the ground dealing with county administrators and budgets, that's just not what I'm hearing at all. So it's extremely difficult. I'm just letting you know that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I agree. Sometimes it is about the bottom line, and that's a starting point for a conversation. When counties have come over budget, I found in the budget modeling there's a whole variety of reasons. I found one county that three of the positions were currently grant-funded, and so the county's buy-in was artificially low. I found some others that are buying some services from remaining counties, and therefore the county budget was for 2017 was kind of artificially low, that counties already were resourcing, were paying the 40%. I've also found several other counties that were funding positions, youth development, 4-H program coordinators, 100%, and those were county employees that were actually doing extension work. And so that's why the conversations have really been helpful, because we uncover a lot of nuances and scenarios and different things that our financial office and our 133 contracts don't illustrate. And then we have this discussions of 4-H program coordinators and what is the size of the 4-H program and how large it is, what's the demand on things. So that's why it's really, that's why we're having the conversations first. I do realize that the pricing model is out there, that the chancellor shared it with her advisory committee, and, you know, Carl shared it with some county groups, and but we still want to have the conversation, and if it takes the not releasing the pricing model to get us to sit down together and talk, that's a good thing in my mind. We have another question come in.
Dave and Matt, this is Peter Manley. We haven't discussed the two specialist positions, the timeline for those, and I know counties are interested in that both from a programming perspective and possible providing office space. So kind of what's the general timeline on those positions?
Peter, are you talking about the extension specialist and the outreach programming?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Tricia, do you have a timeline on that?
Well, that's a really good question. We, as you know, we're looking to hire the associate deans to fill out those the associate deans of the departments. Now, so when we're thinking of those extension specialists, they're tightly tied into the programming from that sort of statewide regional level. And so we expect that those associate deans will help with the prioritization of those specialist positions. So we're putting them in the right place given the resources that we have. So, again, we're looking for the associate deans to come on relatively soon, and so then we'll start those conversations. But we don't have the timeline yet exactly of when we'll be able to offer and sort of advertise for those specialist positions. So we'll be in touch again on that.
So could you describe again what the major difference is between those two positions?
The extension specialist position is a faculty specialist position. The outreach programmer is designed as an academic staff position that's more focused on delivery. We have several examples of folks like that perhaps are natural resource educators or other folks that maybe aren't doing the innovative new knowledge creation, but more focused on specific delivery of programs to various audiences across the state.
And both of those positions would be 100% state funded. And as Peter alluded to, we're hoping that they can be housed in a county office and distributed kind of uniformly across the state or in a geographic area where maybe their level of competence, I guess, has the greatest need. So those are additional conversations we'll be having with county offices as when we get to that point, is where might they be housed, what makes sense, and are counties willing to do that.
And if you were to guess, when do you think those positions would be ready to fill?
So again, once we get those associate deans, that's where we're going to be able to build that timeline, because again, that programming is going to be happening at that department, but also the institute level. So you'll see more this week. The decision on institutes and centers is coming out Friday. So in our communications of what those institutes and centers look like, but that's where the programming is going to be held. And again, that those decisions will be made at that department level of prioritization of those specialist positions in working with both Matt and Dave to say what's the need, what's the demand out there in the county, and then what do we have as far as from the statewide programming level, what do we see as far as the resources that we have to commit, as well as the prioritization of those positions.
Can you remind us what the timeline is for the associate dean selection?
So right now we have, that's also going to be shared shortly, but we're looking to bring in candidates in the next couple weeks and then hiring again shortly after that. So it sort of depends, again, upon that hiring process and the length of time it might take to review the candidates. We've already gone through the first screening process. Then we're right in the middle of sort of the invitations, and then you'll see a communications again on Friday that will define the date for when those the interviews will happen. And then we expect that to extend the offers by the end of the month.
End of July. And this is Karen Adegami. What's being done to speed up or enhance maybe our employee assistance? Matt, you heard it when you met with my staff. We need people to know who to contact for help.
Thank you. I'm going to, Matt, do you mind if I jump in on this too? So we've been talking with HR too about the type of resources that they have available. We do have the Employee Assistance Program, the Life Matters, and that's one. That's one we'll continue to share the information on how to, where those resources are. We're also looking at types of change management or basically assisting staff with the change process. And so, again, we're working with our training program on that. So you'll see some more information. So what the first line of contact would be that employee assistance program and that Life Matters. And so we can get you that information on those resources too.
Is there someone though that understands extension at Life Matters that you can establish a relationship with? That was our question from our staff.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, that is a good question, and I think that relationship comes with time, because you can ask for the same counselor with repeated visits, and I can't really say how effective and efficient it is to schedule that, but in my conversations with them on different matters, they do try to find the best person that meets your needs. So, and it's something that you can get a name and then follow up with that person, you know, a week, 2 weeks, month, on kind of a consistent basis if needed.
This is Joanna.
Our challenge is people need help, but they aren't, you know, it's not in their chemistry to ask for help. So others around them are seeing that they need help, but they're not asking for help. So what do we do as a staff to help them?
That's a good agenda topic to have on maybe a future meeting. We can discuss this and also be discussing this with area extension directors, so that those resources opportunities to provide feedback and things like that are available.
I believe it would make a really good topic for a future department head phone call like this, that you have someone from Life Matters on talking about all variety of things, from survivor's guilt, do I go for COBRA, all that.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley.
Great. And Tricia is taking notes, so maybe we can have a conversation also with Carl and Heidi at one of our upcoming meetings.
This is Joanne in St. Croix. I'd like to shift gears to a different question. The voluntary separation is going to have a lot to do with what counties end up funding. Is there any, I know you folks aren't involved in it, but is there any way to speed up that process so maybe we know by mid-July instead of August?
When the decisions are made by the chancellor, you mean?
The chancellor and the dean are making the decision.
Yeah.
But our budget meetings start before then, and it would, that decision will impact local decisions, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. On one hand, with the flat fee structure going into 2018, regardless of if you have a long-term faculty member that's taken an early separation or hiring a new person, that flat fee structure stays the same. So we should still theoretically, be able to build out the staffing and the pricing for the 2018 budget year.
It does, though, because we've already been, it's already been discussed that if I'm here, they'll fund it, but if I'm not here, then we're going to look at cutting, getting that $23,000 from someplace else and possibly sharing positions. So it does impact their decision making. Because they identify with the person, they don't identify with a position yet. So that it, we talked to our county administrator, and that was one of his first suggestions.
Yeah, thanks, Joanne, for that feedback and comment. We absolutely have no engagement or control over the VSIP, and so we can forward your comment.
Then I'll just follow up. I do completely understand, because there's the two things. This is Tricia again. Just the decision to accept the VSIP from the standpoint of the administration, but then there's that each individual has a certain number of days to also accept that, so that we know that there's that somebody may be offered VSIP but may choose not to accept as well. And so, and that's there are some specifics that way as well. They have 45 days plus an additional 7. So there's going to be some length of time that we won't know that for sure, not only whether or not there's a decision made, but that the individual would accept it. So I think that is a bit of a challenge, just knowing that this is obviously an individual decision. So I just wanted to clarify that too, because the decision to offer the VSIP, we won't know, at least on those individual levels, if people will accept. So there is some length of time and just realizing that.
This is Debbie, and I guess I have a different question. A while ago, we asked on a department head wish line about a fiscal analysis of how all of these changes are getting to the goal of saving money. And as I listen to this discussion, I'm really having a hard time following how we're actually reaching that goal through these changes. Is that something that's going to come out at some point? Because, again, that's originally why this whole effort started.
It will. So the changes will meet the fiscal mandates. They must meet the fiscal mandates. Tricia has been working with Carol Edquist in the budget office, maintaining a master budget model and spreadsheet that identifies all the adds and additions and subtractions to this master budget model. And these individual conversations we're having with counties are going to inform the overall budget model. I'll let Tricia speak to it, but that model itself is incredibly complex. And while the outcomes of the outputs of the model might be shared, it would be very difficult to explain all the chain reactions that occur whenever a decision is made that impacts the fiscal operation. Tricia, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. That is the intent, is over time to release that where those savings have occurred. So right now we're in this flux period where we have we're still learning about where we're going to see some savings. We know, as Dave mentioned, that we have to meet those mandates. We have to meet the budget reduction. We know that in the county or geographic area, that means we're going to have fewer FTEs out there. And so we do expect that. What that looks like, though, and right now it's going to be difficult to see, and I think that's what you're saying, because we're not seeing a massive shift right now. We're going to see some changes over time, and we're going to see some new positions and new types come in where we had some other types of positions. So again, we are going to see these cost savings and be able to describe those. Right now, given this interim stage, in some ways, some areas look like we have, we haven't seen those reductions yet, but we're going to actually see that happen. It's just going to take time by the time the full model comes out. And so we're seeing these reductions in faculty, but again, where those are happening, that's the question. And again, I'm sorry that's vague, but the the issue is that we're needing to basically collect this data over time, and once we have that sort of final model in place, then we can point to where those reductions happen in across the agency, across the organization.
Another question, if our department head is now an AED, do we need to assign someone in the interim, or who takes over that responsibility?
That's a great question, and it'd be great for a discussion since we have all the AEDs here right now, and we're going to be doing planning on Friday. I think that's a great topic for us to wrestle with.
Can you review the appropriate roles for the department head and AEDs regarding the my understanding is that department heads are going to be doing the six-month contract and taking the lead on that. Is the intent that the AEDs will be taking the lead on the 2018 contract and MOUs and be meeting with the committees by August?
I think we can take that on a county-by-county basis. There are some counties, the county department heads and the regional directors already have the established relationship to have those conversations. It would be great to have the area extension director be there but not really have to do the heavy lifting until they have a bit of time to establish the trust and relationships of those committees. In other cases, as somebody said, you may not have a county department head that's currently serving in that role, and that is the AED, and they already have that trust relationship built up. So I think rather than cast a broad, this is the way it will work. I think we should work together, Matt and I, the regional directors, the area extension directors, and the county department heads as a team to identify the best approach and the best people to present that, both the six-month contract and the 2018 budget.
So I assume the AEDs will be contacting us to plan a strategy for that then?
For the 2018 budget?
Yes.
Actually, the county department heads will be contacting the regional director for that budget meeting of where we sit down and look at the flat pricing structure, the one we talked about earlier in the telecom.
Right. We've already done that. Matt and I have had that discussion, but I'm asking about the meeting with our committee when they make those decisions for the contract. I think it's very imperative that the AEDs be here and get out and meet these committees.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Yep. And that was part of the communication strategy I was speaking about earlier, Mark. Please invite the AEDs to the upcoming meetings, whether it's with Extension Committee or Finance Committee, and that way they get to kind of begin to build those relationships and the FaceTime with the key players in the county so that as they work, as they kind of take the primary role in the 2019 budget development, they'll understand the process, the committees, the structure and timeline, if I haven't said that already. So, yep.
Yep, thanks, Mark. We have a AED training, orientation, onboarding, and planning session, all of those good things, starting in a few minutes. So maybe we can take one more question and then wrap up for this month.
This is Tom in Ashland County. I wonder if I could sneak in two questions. One is, should we have already seen the six-month 133 contracts? And the second is, we haven't talked at all about what's happening with tribal communities. Are there similar meetings to these county-specific meetings happening with the tribes?
So I'll speak to the first one. What you would have received is not a 133 six-month contract, but you would have received a budget from the budget office. For most of the counties, the 133 contracts won't be developed until after the fiscal year is closed out, and there'll be a reconciliation on the contract. So you should get the contract probably sometime in August, but what you did receive is a budget model that you could share with your committee and say, this is what the numbers will look like in the contract. The second piece of tribes is, yes, we're having those conversations, and it depends on the relationship and scenario. You know, Ashland, I know up in Ashland it's a FERTEP grant, so the conversation will likely be part of the county budget conversation. We're in Brian and Lac du Flambeau, we're having that budget
meeting with Brian, and I've met with Menominee, which is another unique circumstance. LCO with Auriga is actually a contract between the county and the tribe, so that budget conversation will have to be in the context of the county office. So each one, so the tribes are not being left out of the conversation by any means, but it's just that every scenario is a bit different, and some of it becomes part of the county budget conversation, and some of it becomes separate from the county budget conversation. Thanks, Wojo.
This is Bev Dell from Grand County. Just a clarification question. You mentioned that a budget scenario or whatever should have come to our counties, for our counties. Who would that have come from? And I'm unclear as to what that is.
It would have come from Chris Whalen or Angie Makovic. And I think they divided up the state, and it would have been just a budget model, and they would have asked you to say, to respond back to them saying, this is correct.
What was Angie's last name?
Makovic. Anybody know how to spell that?
I'm pretty sure for you, Deb, or Bev, it would have been from Chris Whalen. I think she did much of the Southwest region.
Okay.
She would have been if you hadn't responded back saying that's correct, they would have been following up with you.
Right. And the other thing is we have about a third of the counties in the state that are already on a calendar year budgeting process. So a third of the counties aren't going to have any communication at all. It'll just be part of the, you know, building the 2018 budget then. So that might be one factor to consider, and I'm assuming that Tom's on a fiscal year as well, too, up in Ashland.
And I've responded to the initial budget response. We made some corrections, so I was good on that. I just assumed a 133 would be following up once that was agreed.
Thanks, Tom. They have to close out the fiscal year first.
Good.
Okay, well, we're out of time. Thank you all. If you have questions in the meantime, copy Matt and I or the regional directors, and have a great weekend, everybody.